Of Magic and Muggles by Lady Voldy. Frigid raindrops kissed the glass of the wide seventh-floor window, towering over the small bakery across the street. The corporate building for Grunning's Drills was by far the largest building in the factory district, with tall smokestacks that puffed away from midnight to noon. Alas, the man through the window knew little of the smokestacks. In fact, he didn't know much about the job at all. His father, a man he had grown to uncannily resemble, insisted that the company hire him weeks after his 31st birthday. The sweet reprieve of nepotism proffered him the turn of luck that his wife had been begging for since he lost his job in Bristol, and as he expected, she had peppered him in smears of mauve lipstick as soon as she heard. Within days, they bought a house in Surrey, and their children were enrolled in the private school he had gone to as a boy. Back then, he thought he was unstoppable. A six-figure salary was one of many assets he boasted about, and while he once thought that that was the most important of the lot, it no longer mattered in the slightest. Without his wife and his children, he was a shell of a man. The heavy-handed knock on his door made him jump. Blinking away his tears, he cleared his throat and boomed, "Come in!" A walrus-like mustache that matched his own in all ways but color peeked through the shadows of the hallway.
"Mighty dark in here, Dudley."
Pudgy, wrinkled fingers pawed at the wall until they found the light switch.
"Aha! Much better!"
Dudley did not think it was better at all, but he kept that to himself.
"Haven't you worked enough today, son?"
Vernon Dursley asked, waddling into the room.
"Nearly 10 hours, by my count."
"I've got paperwork."
It was a lie.
"My boy, the hard worker,"
Vernon doted, ruffling Dudley's graying hair.
"Your mother would be so proud."
Petunia Dursley would, in fact, be proud, solely because she had put Dudley on a pedestal ever since he was just a tot. Dudley was not sure that his mother held him to the standard most mothers might hold a son, and, unfortunately, he would never have the opportunity to ask her why. She had died in her sleep not long after his first child was born.
"Thanks, Dad." "Only the truth, son, only the truth. I suppose I'll see you tomorrow at the Christmas party, then?"
Vernon asked, excitement in the question.
"Nothing like a Grunnings party. The Scotch flows like the Thames."
He clapped his son on the back with a joyous,
"Ha ha,"
and slipped out the door, leaving Dudley alone in his grievous despair. The walls of his office were one of the last familiarities left in his life, and in no rush to return to his pathetic bachelor pad, he hunched over his desk and cried. Grunnings had spent more on the annual Christmas party than on all of the floor workers' salaries combined. The cafeteria was tacked with blinking lights and pinecone-laden garland, the tables each had a large festive centerpiece of poinsettias and holly, and three towering trees were glittering under the soft lights of the room. It was much grander than the year before. Dudley, who had never been popular with his co-workers, was skimming the room. Hours of consideration had gone into his attendance. And now that he was there, he was beginning to regret the decision he landed on. Men and women who did far more than him for far less money were helping themselves to the catered buffet, an expensive spread featuring roast lamb and whatever a tofurkey was. And as they passed him by, they made a point to shoot him a glare. Even their husbands and wives seemed to be disgruntled by his presence, and he could hardly blame them. He had attended the Grunnings' Christmas party the year before, and he remembered getting the same looks, but with his pretty wife latched onto his arm, nothing could stand in the way of his happiness. She was a glowing beacon, not only of privilege and success, but of the fact that he was worthy of somebody's love. That was, he thought, something that nobody could take away from him.
"Mr. Dursley," a young American man said, reaching out to shake Dudley's hand.
In his other hand was a glass of what looked like scotch.
"So good to see you here."
Dudley, who had seen the man before but did not remember his name, awkwardly replied,
"Good to see you too, mate. Good to see you too. Surely you remember my wife, Nina?"
The man beckoned a slim brunette with a flute of champagne. She tucked herself into his side and smiled widely, her hand outstretched.
"Mr. Dursley," she said, shaking Dudley's hand with a surprising grip. "Pleasure to see you again. Hunter talks about you all the time."
The man pinkened.
"Not all the time, of course. Just whenever you have a new knee-slapper in your emails. I always love that joke you have in your signature about the baker and the shoehorn.
But you had one about an Irishman and a cat that's quite good, too. What was it?
He wagged his finger at Dudley.
An Irishman walks into a pub and the barkeeper's a cat? Or there's a cat on the bar stool? No, wait.
Hunter seemed to be waiting for Dudley to finish the joke, but the other man was too distracted by Nina. She suddenly seemed to be looking for someone behind him, and she was making quite a show of it. She craned her neck and peeked past him as though she suspected he was sneakily hiding another person behind his wide frame. Dudley suspected he knew what she was doing, but he did not dare mention it before she did. Unfortunately, she was quick to ask the looming question.
"Surely Loretta's hiding here somewhere, or could she not make it?"
Dudley paled. He had expected someone to ask, but hearing her name was enough to make him want to go home, even if home was a one-bedroom flat.
"Loretta, she and I recently separated, actually."
It felt strange to say aloud. He'd only admitted it to his father.
Oh, Lord, I'm terribly sorry."
No reason to be," Dudley muttered. "My good old dad'll be joining me here shortly."
"Oh, well, that's nice, for him to be supportive."
Her gaze averted as she lowered her lips to her champagne flute. Hunter then seized her by the forearm and started pulling her away, muttering an apology to Dudley, followed by something about her embarrassing him. Nina nearly choked on her drink.
Hey, that's no way to treat a lady,"
Dudley shouted after him. But the two of them had been swallowed by the crowd. Defeated, Dudley found a table and slumped into a chair. The roar of the party was deafening. For nearly an hour, Dudley waited for his father to join him at his lonely table, but he never did. Instead, when Vernon Dursley finally made his entrance, he waddled around the room, laughing and drinking with sleazy investors and complimenting their far too young wives. The man had always been a schmoozer, and the older that Dudley grew, the less he respected him for it. Fatigued, Dudley decided he was better off going back to his miserable flat. He said goodbye to no one as he shrugged on his jacket and made his way to the double doors. Nobody gave him a second glance. Outside, it was quiet. Outside, he could hear his thoughts. Bathed in the semi-darkness of a suburban winter night, he stopped in front of the car park and fiddled with his keys, desperately trying not to be reminded of all the times Loretta scolded him for his ceaseless absent-mindedness. However, where he parked was the same routine mystery as it was most days, and to find his money pit of a vehicle, he depended on the loud honk that resounded when he tried locking it more times than necessary.
"Can't you just remember where you parked the bloody thing? The levels are marked, Dudley. How hard can it be?"
Unfortunately, his hands were shaking, and the key fob slipped through his chubby fingers, tumbling to the ground. The metallic noise of brass against the pavement must have robbed him of his last bout of sanity, because it was with that he collapsed onto the tarmac and buried his face in his hands. If anyone saw him, he would look absolutely pathetic. Alas, he didn't care. His Loretta was gone. His children were gone. His house was gone. All he had left was his job and his BMW that had far too many miles on it, and he never wanted the thing to begin with. Loretta was the one who thought they needed the luxury car, and it was that fact that made it all the worst. The last remaining thing that was his had her written all over it.
"I'm sorry, Dad. It just isn't working out."
Dudley let out a dreadful sob. Such simple words had cut him so deeply.
Sir, are you all right?"
With a mortified gasp, Dudley looked up. He hadn't heard any footsteps, and he most certainly didn't expect a woman so beautiful to approach him in his given state. It was strange. Surely he would have noticed someone like her at the party, but he didn't recall seeing her in there at all.
Yes, he breathed, still trying to grasp her beauty and her mere presence. I'm great."
Slowly, he stood, realizing just how positively mad he must have seemed.
"Are you sure?"
she asked, fixing her dress. It was olive green, with patches of orange and violet. Not fashionable in any sense of the word, but it didn't matter. Her eyes were intoxicatingly blue, and her soft, plump frame was welcoming in a way he had never known.
"You were crying."
She was not lithe and sharp like Loretta, but she was, in her own unique way, somehow prettier. With a noticeable scar on her cheek in the loose shape of a K, and a dimple only on one side. She was nothing like the women he imagined himself with as a teenager. Yet, as he drank in her features, she was suddenly the only woman he could see himself with at all. He wondered if he was hallucinating.
"Oh, that," he said, embarrassed. "Right, well, maybe I just drank too much."
She tilted her head. Curly locks rustled with the movement.
"Funny. You don't seem drunk to me."
He sighed. She had caught him, and she was certain to flee now. But Dudley decided to opt for the truth. There was no sense in denying it anymore. He was a grown man, and he had been crying in public. There wasn't any way to recover from that, anyway, intoxicated or not.
"All right, fine. I'm not drunk. I just had a divorce not that long ago, and, just missing the kids a bit."
It might have been a lie a moment back, but he didn't miss Loretta at all now. Not anymore. The woman beamed and pushed her strawberry blonde curls behind her ear.
"Oh, I love children. I can't have any of my own, though, I'm afraid."
It seemed like quite a personal thing to admit to a stranger, but perhaps it was because he had admitted something rather personal, too.
"So do you work around here?"
She blinked.
"No. Do you?"
"Yes,"
he replied, gesturing to the nearby building.
"I'm a director right there at Grunnings."
"Well, I'm not sure what a Grunnings is, but you seem like a nice bloke. Maybe you'd like to go for a walk with me? It might, maybe help you think about your situation a bit less."
How she sounded just as nervous as he was, he didn't know. With graying hair and a habit of crying by car parks, he was hardly the type to render women speechless.
Yes. Yes, I'd really like that, I think," he managed, scratching the back of his head. "I'm Dudley, by the way. Dudley Dursley."
She smiled at him, flashing a crooked tooth stained with red lipstick.
"Marietta. Marietta Edgecombe."
"Well, it's nice to meet you, Marietta."
"It's nice to meet you too, Dudley Dursley."